Welcome to the Drunk to Who podcast. I am John.
And I'm Steve.
And Steve, what are your eyebrows telling me today?
I don't know. What the hell are you talking about?
I don't know. They're looking kind of bushy today.
I haven't gotten an air gun in a long time.
Okay.
I'm an old man, and somewhere along the line, my eyebrows stopped knowing when to stop growing.
Yeah.
They just forget now.
Oh, God, isn't that insane?
And there's like, yeah.
It just forgot. It's old. It's senile.
It's not. You're not you a got, fingernail.
You got senile hairs.
Yeah.
Seniles. But this is not the old man podcast.
This isn't the make.
Well,
fun
it is kind of the old man.
The
podcast.
The make fun of Steve's grooming podcast.
Well, there's enough of those out there. I figure we should we need to have a niche. Something like Doctor Who. It's a niche. Okay. So Steve, how can people contact us and tell us about their grooming habits?
Email drunktorwho@gmail.com or reach out on Twitter at drunktorwho or at srdollin.
What do we do on this old here podcast?
This is a podcast where we drink, we watch Doctor Who, we drink, and we talk about Doctor Who all while drinking. And we're drinking right now a Victory Golden Monkey.
Ooh, that's a golden monkey.
Which is,
Sully on there. It looks like Sully from, that's his tummy. His tummy has an eyeball.
You thought it was Mike Wazowski.
Yeah, Wazowski. Sorry, not Sully.
It's a 9.5 percent. So we're not gonna have too many.
It's spicy.
It's got some spice.
It's not hot. It's just a little spicy.
Yeah.
Did you want to tell people? You know, every now and then, you've been kind of going, hey, should we have the mission of our podcast?
Oh, sure.
Did you want to do that? I don't know.
Yeah, just real quick. I've never watched Doctor Who. You're a big fan. And
you're kind of a fan now.
Well, yeah, I like it a lot more than I did, obviously, before I watched it.
That makes sense.
But yeah,
we've been doing this for over 3 years
you've
now.
You've always been a big fan. You've been a big fan since Tom Baker?
Yes.
Yeah, Tom Baker in the 70s?
Yes.
70s. I'm trying to remember.
It's good.
There's someone named a Pertwee, which sounds like it should be a species of bird. But and I'm being introduced to Doctor Who help and the help of alcohol.
Yeah, the only way I could tempt you is with alcohol.
And a podcast.
It's like, God, if we're going to watch this goddamn show, we're going to need some alcohol.
If I'm going to see, this is a spot on Steve impression, by the way.
I'm talking through my beard.
Yeah, if I'm going to watch, plastic men and farting garbage cans from what I remember the first episode we watched, then yeah, I'm going to need some alcohol.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that did help that one go down. Yeah. It still worked out well, I think. The quality has gotten different.
Yeah, it's gotten better.
Yeah, they got better budgets. There's always a clinker episode.
Yes, of course. But I think the writing has greatly improved.
Yes. Then I like Doctor Who. It's all good.
You liked it for a long time.
Yeah, I never stopped liking it, but I didn't have the years in the desert. Doctor Who, I'm thirsty for Doctor Who.
The lost years, like I was in for Star Wars in the late 80s, early 90s, and I started reading those novels.
Oh, you did that?
Yeah, a bunch of them.
Oh.
They're really mixed.
Yeah, well, I didn't read any kind of fanfic or anything stuff. No, I just waited. And then I was like, I didn't jump back in full force. I kind of waited a little bit.
Yeah.
And then I watched and then and then once Matt Smith kind of blew up, then I caught up on everything. I'm like, yeah, the show has gotten better.
Yeah.
I enjoy it, and I enjoy it to this day.
Okay, cool.
And I'm trying to make you one of us.
No, and you
Google
have.
Google Gobble.
Yeah, you have.
So, yeah, so that was kind of long-winded.
Yeah, whatever. Maybe I'll cut out a chunk of it.
You doubt it. Or you'll move it somewhere else. Maybe. Or I'll say something really offensive, and you'll cut it out.
It's entirely possible.
Wait, some really weird... Oh, well, hey, Steve, well, that was 27 minutes we talked about that one weird thing.
That's true.
Do we want to do the toast? Oh, no, I need to ask you the thing.
Oh, shit. Which thing?
The thing that you're going to keep very brief.
Okay.
Because, again, we have limited time tonight. Steve, we're about to watch The Lodger. What is The Lodger about, Steve?
Oh, shit. Okay, so the doctor, basically, we're going back to the thing that we had a couple episodes ago where he pulls the piece of TARDIS shrapnel out of the time crack. Is that, are those words that I'm using correctly?
I usually refer to it as Amy's crack.
I know. And so he's like, we have to investigate this. And I don't know if Amy remembers this happening because it was connected with Rory and Rory's death. So Rory's been wiped from existence. So I don't know what she remembers and what she doesn't. Maybe she just remembers them escaping cleanly, getting away cleanly. But anyway, so they're going to investigate and they're going to go back to Amy's house. They find there's someone who claims that it's their house. And they live there now. And no, Amy's never lived here. Maybe someone. I don't know. I've always lived here.
Amy's been erased from her own crack?
But basically it turns... And so they call them the lodger. But they're really a squatter.
Oh, okay.
But it turns out that it was an alien who crawled out of the crack.
Oh, so they're just rude.
Yeah.
So aliens crawled out of Amy's
crack.
Basically
trying to gaslight him, saying, like, we were never here, and, you know.
It sounds like an M. Night Shyamalan plot that you've taken.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were they grandparents?
Is Bruce Willis going to punch, gonna like,
punch a nun?
Somebody?
Yeah, oh, yeah. He's always
punch a nun?
Well, Bruce Willis, you know how he rolls.
Yeah, okay.
He, Batman.
Sullenly and without trying very hard right now?
Well, yeah, you know what? Hey, you know, if you were Bruce Willis, would you work that hard?
No, probably not.
I mean, you know, once...
I'm Steve, and I don't work that hard now.
True, true. Well, Jesus, if you were Bruce Willis, you'd work three times less hard or something.
Okay.
Hey, that was great, Steve. Let's see how much of that happens in today's episode.
Almost none.
But first...
Yes.
But first, we're going to have some more concentrated booze. What is our toast? What is our Drunter Who toast of the episode?
You're an inanimate fucking object.
Yes.
Yeah, those were.
I know it's all the same, but it's still whatever they flavor whiskey with is just. I mean, they probably have like some packets. I imagine some McCormick's thing.
You know? Oh, I think it's just they rinse out leftover ramen flavoring packets.
No, that would be
delicious.
Yes, exactly. That's what exactly was going for.
And salty. Yeah.
Chuck my chocolate salted nuts, whatever. What was that again?
You're an inanimate fucking object. It's from In Bruges.
Oh.
God, it's an awesome movie. Everybody should go see In Bruges.
After they listen to this.
Yes, that's true.
Don't pull over your car.
I don't know. They've already downloaded, so do we really care?
Well, I know, but what if they're like, you know, they're on the train? Do you want these people to like miss work?
I assume they can get from context clues that I don't think they should stop everything and just watch it right now. Like they can watch it at your earliest convenience.
Well, Steve, I think that sometimes people don't really understand those things.
Sure.
I think our listeners, if I remember the polls that I've... I know, I don't even know where I'm going with this.
I don't know, but I'm bored.
Oh, no, well, duh. God, that's whiskey. All right, well, we're going to watch an episode of Doctor Who. It's called The Lodger.
Yes.
And let's see if it involves, like, people squatting in Amy's crack.
We'll be back in, like, 10 seconds.
Enjoy the thing. Now that we've got that out of the way, Steve.
Yes.
Hey, we just watched an episode of Doctor Who. What did you do today, people? I bet you didn't do any watch an episode of Doctor Who. You're probably just listening to us talk about Doctor Who. Well, maybe you should watch an episode of Doctor Who and talk about politics. Anyway, Steve, what did we do today? Besides editing out 20 minutes of like just blowhard stuff that just we just did.
Bullshitting about politics and other things. So, yeah. Yeah, we watched The Lodger, which I as part of a one-off is a great episode. This is what I wanted, something like the, what was the one with the Absorbaloft? Absorbaloft.
There was Love and Monsters.
Love and Monsters. This is what I wanted that to be. Like, this had ups and downs, but it ended, at least for the humans, it ended like happy and everything, you know.
Humans as opposed to human and paving.
Yeah. No, this is what I wanted that type of episode to be. This was a really good one-off.
Uh-huh.
I liked it a lot.
Yes.
Yeah.
Me too.
It was that what you sometimes get in these kind of shows where it's like there, it does tie into the overall season-long story, but it is, at its core, like a one-off.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Did you feel it was a Companion Light episode?
Kind of.
Yeah. It wasn't officially called a Companion Light episode, but it's totally Companion Light.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Karen Gillan could have just like sat there and like, you know, just recorded shit for like an hour.
She pulled levers and screamed. My guess is that she filmed for a day.
Yeah, if that.
Yeah.
You know, whereas like Matt Smith is out there, he's playing soccer. He's
playing soccer.
Was it soccer or was it football?
Depends on who you ask.
But it was soccer.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, no, it wasn't like Australian rules football because their outfits weren't like small enough. Like, you know, we didn't see enough arms.
I know your affection for Australian rules football.
Their outfits.
Yeah.
And they like beat each other up and just like it's getting a big scrum.
Yeah.
Who don't like a big Australian scrum? It's scrumptious. All right. So what happened in this damn episode, Steve?
Oh, okay. So it was weird. We started out with the TARDIS landing, the Doctor falling out, and then the TARDIS taking off again, but Amy staying behind and not knowing that the Doctor wasn't there anymore.
Well, you know, I'm going to ask you a question. Now, from watching this episode, at one point the Doctor's like, it's been 3 days or something. Or maybe, you know, Craig was like, it's been 3 days. Was it the same amount of time for Amy? Or do you think she was maybe like jumping around a bit?
I don't know.
Did she stop for bathroom breaks?
After watching, you know, about halfway through the episode, I realized, like, did Amy drop off the Doctor? Did she really, like, because she was like, Doctor, where are you? Can you hear me? But it's like, was she talking to the little earpiece? Like, did they intentionally leave the Doctor behind, or was she supposed to go with him?
Oh. Because he's wearing his little Bluetooth right when he was there.
Later on, they're talking as if this was all part of the plan.
Huh.
You know, for her to drop him off. She's like, I can't stop the TARDIS. I can't land the TARDIS. And he's like, oh, I know, because of this thing. So was it part of the initial plan for her to, like, basically drop him off? And for her to, like, babysit the TARDIS?
I wonder. Because now that you mention that, I wonder if that is what it was supposed to happen. I don't have answers.
Okay, just curious.
I'm wrong. I should just... I'm leaving now, Steve. Oh, I can't quit this podcast. Yeah. No, I'm not sure. So the Doctor falls out of the TARDIS. Amy takes off. Doctor's got his Bluetooth and says, Amy.
Well, they don't communicate yet. We don't know he has the Bluetooth yet. Amy's like wandering around going, Doctor, we're not landing. I don't know. Doctor, where are you? Can you hear me? And then we go to this chunky dude, Craig, on his couch with this woman, Sophie. They're just hanging out. They're like, pizza, booze, telly. And I'm like, oh, that sounds like a nice night.
That's right, Craig. Or Steve.
Yeah. I have an attractive wife. And occasionally we like to order pizza and drink booze and watch TV.
So, So they're having their own little, like, rom-com sitcom going on downtown.
Basically, like, they're basically like, hey, you know, we're friends. It's cool. We're friends. But there's...
Because we're just friends, right? We're friends. Unless you don't want to be friends. What do you mean? Don't be bad.
Yeah. Like basically, he's talking about his ad for a roommate. And she's like... Oh, it sounds like you're trying to get me a man. But what's weird is that made me think that they were looking for her to have a roommate, because the way she worded it is like, it sounds like you're trying to get me a man.
Like, I took it as like, fix me up.
Oh, and he's like, oh, or else you'll have to settle for me. And she's like, oh, you'll have to settle for me. And I'm just like, oh, Jesus Christ, this is what it's going to be. Uh-huh. These two people who don't realize they're hopelessly in love with each other, but they hang out all the time.
Wah, wah, wah.
Yeah.
And there's my little, like, my fist on my chin. The wacky things are going to happen. Yeah. And so then, okay, so then she gets called away, and he's like, oh, well, you know, I love you. I want to say I love you. Oh, she left her keys. Ding dong. Oh, that must be her. I love you. So, yeah. I love you. I love you. I love you.
And he opens the door and says, I love you. And the Doctor's just like, oh, great. I'm here to rent your room.
Here's some money.
Yeah.
A giant bag of money.
No, it's the Doctor appears and that's the stinger. And then we hear the credits start. But apparently Sophie's got a friend who is into some drama.
Tell me about that story.
I don't know that story because that's the phone call she got. It was basically like, oh my God, my friend is having a breakdown. I got to go help her, you know.
Did she say her? Or could it have been like, you know, does she have like a gay best friend or something?
Maybe. I thought it was a her though. Anyway, so we can go to the opening credits. There's nothing special. Ba-boom, the same names. I don't remember who wrote this or directed it. But you'll tell me later.
Sure.
Probably. But yeah, maybe. So then we go back and the doctor's like being shown around the apartment by who I jokingly said, this James Corden looking motherfucker. And then you were really annoyed because I guessed it was James
Corden. No. I kept my mouth shut.
Oh yeah.
And then you paused it and Hulu always tells you.
It's not Hulu, it's Amazon Prime.
Amazon Prime always tells you who's on the screen and gives you their names and shit. So you pause it to ask me a question. And then like you look, and it's James Corden!
Yeah.
I'm like, ugh. You're like, I was right. I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, I hate fucking Amazon Prime. It would like, you know, someone could be like doing a little voiceover on there. You're like, I think that might be Dame Judi Dench. And like, you know, that's doing the voice of that man on there.
Or you could actually use the one that happened, which was Timothy Dalton.
Oh, was that what it was?
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah, that was even before we knew he was on. Well, yeah. You knew he was on that episode.
So yeah.
I was annoyed with that.
Yeah, sorry.
I wanted to pull one of those. And it was James Corden. He is your father, you know, sort of thing.
What?
I'm sorry, Steve. I didn't meant to tell you earlier.
What?
I thought you'd be surprised.
I could use a loan.
Yeah, no. Has he worked much? Not really.
Doesn't he host?
Like, he was in two lesser bonds.
No, but he hosts a talk show.
Who?
James Corden.
Oh, they were still talking about Timothy Dalton.
No.
Well, we moved on, I thought.
Whatever.
All right, Steve, fine.
So yeah, so it is James Corden.
Sure, if you that's say so. Point. If you believe that, I think it's fake news.
I was right. So it's James Corden, and they notice this like spreading stain on the ceiling that he's about to touch. Actually, this happened before.
We heard like screaming and like ar ar ar, and then James Corden just ignores it.
Yeah, there's a lot of screaming from upstairs. Hello? There's a lot of thumping that he ignores.
Seen my mummy?
I don't remember where. It really was. I can't find my mummy. I don't remember.
I think we might have seen before.
I think it was before we even see them sitting on the couch. We see
some just random dude walking by. Some random
like high school looking dude where it's basically like, oh, can you help me? And they buzz him up and come up to the top of the stairs and come in my apartment and help me. And I'm thinking like, who does this? Who wouldn't be like, I will call the police for you. I'm not going into your house. Like,
Steve, it's 2010. People were a lot more trusting.
That's true.
9 years ago.
That's true. That's true.
So much more trusting.
Back in the day.
Back in the day.
So, yeah. So they're luring people up, and we see it happen like 6 times, including this one woman who looks like she was just a domestic violence victim. Yeah. Like, that was unsettling.
There was a thing.
She was having a bad day already.
I guess, there was. I don't know if it was cut or if it was written in such a way, but like apparently the people who were walking by wanted to get away somehow.
That's right.
So the lady who looked like maybe domestic violence or something wanted to escape.
It was
you know,
a little,
maybe it was like the kid was like, you know, some sort of gay kid who wanted to get out of this town.
Or he's just a dreamer who's like, I want to get out of here. This place sucks. And he's like a typical 17-year-old.
It was just like one of those things where like these were people who wanted, you know, because again, like remember what later when Sophie was like, Sophie had a reason to travel and go away.
Yeah.
And that's why she was pulled up. And Craig only wanted to sit on his, couch and, you know, be with Sophie.
He only wanted to hang out with Sophie.
Because he loved her. I love her. You love me?
Okay, but that's later.
But yeah, so does that make that color it a little differently?
No, that makes sense, but it still was like this heartbreaking, like, oh, you're going to victimize the victim.
Yeah, you didn't say that when it happened.
Prey on the victim. That just sucks.
Yeah.
But anyway, so James Corden is showing the doctor around the flat. He's like, oh, here's this and this and this. Oh, what can I call you? The doctor. Okay. And the doctor's like, oh, here are my references, my things. And he's showing him the psychic paper. And one of his references is the Archbishop of Canterbury.
He shows him the paper. turns it around his back, yeah. Shows him the second paper again, turns it around on his back, basically shows him the second paper again.
Switches hands, like, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, here's my references, here's my... He's like, wait, did that say the Archbishop of Canterbury? Yeah, yeah. I'm one of his favorites.
Yeah.
Which I wasn't sure quite what that meant. They're not the Catholic Church, otherwise.
I just look at it very surface level.
True.
It's one of... He's his favorite... Whatever. Where were we?
Yeah, we were with Craig.
Oh, yeah, we were with Craig and the doctor.
And he's like, this is my room. I love my room. Get out of my room.
Doctor's, he's like, I've never had a room. It's like, so he gets a key and everything. And
got a key?
Yeah. And the doctor sees him and is like, oh, they call me the rotmeister.
Yeah,
they call me the doctor.
Yeah, he saw like the stuff on the ceiling, which looked kind of like mold. That, like, yeah, like that stuff. You ever see like, those videos of like people, like there's a motel in Florida that was abandoned like 10 years ago, and they go in there and like all the beds are made, but there's all this mold in there.
Well, it's Florida. Like the temperature is set to damp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just awful. Like, you know, they need like masks. Otherwise, it will like turn them into. What was that? The video game, The Last of Us, where people turn into like mushrooms or something?
I don't know.
You know, it's kind of like.
It's like that Stephen King segment of Creepshow where he just turns into a mold man.
No, he turned into kudzu.
It was more of a mold.
Yeah.
Kudzu is like a leafy plant.
He turned into a plant.
He was a mold man.
Yeah, sure.
He was covered in green fuzz.
He was all green fuzzy.
But yeah, so.
From aliens.
So he's basically, don't touch that shit on the ceiling. I know.
It's bad, Craig. Yeah. Don't do that. Why would I do that?
And he's talking to Craig, and Craig is like, oh, yeah, I have this job where I met Sophie. It's at the call center, and it sounds like a boring dead-end job. And Craig's like, yeah, I don't care about it, but, you know, I met Sophie there, so it's good. He's clearly head over heels into Sophie.
Right.
So.
And also, too, head over heels into, like, not, like, doing anything to, like, make himself better.
Well, he's into the status quo. Like, he's good with everything the way it is except for the Sophie business. Like, if Sophie could just join him on the couch permanently...
Oh, yeah.
I think he's set for life.
No, but, like, yeah, he doesn't really have any initiative or, like, future plans or anything.
No, he's focused on her.
He's focused on himself. Well, staying there with her.
Yeah, as long as she's there.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, no, we do see at the in the scene where he meets the doctor, he's like running out and he's ready to profess his love to Sophie. He literally says it out loud. It's just he says it out loud to the wrong person.
Luckily, the doctor was there. So yeah. Then the doctor makes him an omelet, and Craig is like, "You are in."
Well, it looked like the most disgusting omelet because he's just like squirting shit in there and like random. It looked like mayonnaise and I don't know. Like
they're English.
It looked disgusting.
They're not known for their fine foods. Steve.
It looked disgusting, but Craig was just like, this is the most amazing thing I've ever eaten. Where did you learn to cook? 17th century France.
No. Later.
I think he starts in the 18th century. No, 17th.
So weirdly 19th. Linear.
He's like, where are we? I forget which way it goes. It's like, dude, you're talking about basic numbers. Like, you should know greater than, less than. That should not be a mystery.
So then he's like, you know, so he's in, and he's like in the bedroom later, and he's like talking to Amy Pond on his TARDIS Bluetooth.
I like this scene.
Yeah, so he's just like talking to her, and she's like, oh, well, what's going on, and this, that, and the other thing, and shit's happening, and he's like, don't worry, I've got like a filter on so that anyone who overhears us thinks I'm just speaking nonsense.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you know, so then Craig puts his ear to the wall, and it's like, hey, Fezball.
Hey.
Shuppin' a boo boo boo.
Rubber nipple trout muzzle.
Right.
Hey, chicken wing revolution. Just like random, like word. It's like word salad was tossed. Yeah.
Yeah, Doctor was tossing some serious salads in that room.
Okay.
And and it's just like he's singing the same cadence as like when he's like speaking to Amy. So just kind of like blah, blah, blah.
He's like, I can't use advanced technology because the people upstairs will notice.
Right.
And he's like, ooh, look, I have a room, I have a dresser. And he's all excited. And
And he's like talking to her and he's like, there's like some weird shit. There's weird shit going on with upstairs that's making the TARDIS go wacky. He's like, hey, look for the plans. Oh, wait, I've got to go play football.
Well,
after I get out of this sexy, sexy shower. Yeah.
I think before that, it's just he's. I don't know. We cut to the upstairs neighbor, quote unquote, like luring in a couple more victims.
Oh, let's just say that was happening all the time.
It was, I think we saw it happen like 4 times.
Yeah. He's an old man. He's a younger man. He's a creepy little girl.
Yeah.
You know, little girls are just naturally creepy.
Okay.
You know, especially when they've got a dolly in their hands and they've got like pigtails. Creepy.
Yeah, of course.
You know, if you were doing it in your doorway, that would be even creepier.
Well, I'd have the pigtails in my beard. Or my
less creepy.
Or my eyebrows.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, that'd make you less creepy.
Yeah. So we have, the doctor's in the shower, and Craig is like knocking on the door saying, hey, come on, hurry it up. And the doctor's like, oh, I like a good soak. And then.
Is that a euphemism?
No.
Does he have two penises?
Maybe.
He's
don't
like
know.
Jacking them both in the shower.
I don't know. Maybe. But
because Craig's always busting in on him.
A good soak to me implies a bath, not a shower. So maybe it's the doctor. I'm living in an apartment and it's weird and I'm trying to use the vernacular. Maybe that was a joke.
Probably.
Probably. And then Craig hears a big thumping upstairs. And I think that's when he goes upstairs and is like, hey, can I help you? And the doctor's like, oh my God, no, wait, what'd you say? And he freaks out and he runs out of the shower and he barely covers himself.
But Craig is up there.
Yeah.
And Craig is actually talking to the upstairs. And it's like, no, I don't need to speak to you. Thank you.
The old man's like, no, I don't need you.
Right. I don't need you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, doesn't let him in.
And so the doctor runs up the stairs and is like, what? What's going on?
And Soapy happens to walk in and go, hello, Soapy man.
Yeah.
Nom, nom, nom.
And she says to Craig, like, oh, you didn't tell me it was gorgeous. It's like, okay.
Oh, well, you know, he's Matt Smith. He's not that gorgeous.
Oh, but
maybe if, like, she's selling for Craig.
He aims his sonic at the guy upstairs, but it turns out to be his sonic toothbrush.
Yeah, he grabs Craig's electric toothbrush by mistake. And it's making like the sonic sound.
The sonic hair.
So we're all kind of like, oh.
He's going to blast some gum disease out of
it won't work on wood either.
No.
Probably won't.
So then they go back to the apartment and it's basically then we hear football. They want them to play football. And
hey, doctor, can you play football?
Amy had told him on the phone call earlier, it's like, be normal, play football or something like
that. Yeah, hang out with the mates at the pub and go play football.
The doctor is putting on his football
with an 11 on the back.
Yeah.
Did you get
I
know, right?
11. He's the 11th doctor. I didn't get that till right now. No. Yeah,
I know.
And he put his shirt on backwards and then turned it around and he's talking to
Because shirts
Amy,
are confusing to aliens.
Yeah, I know. He's talking to but bow ties aren't.
She's like, look, more normal, lose the bow ties. Like, bow ties are cool.
She's like, no, they're not. Yeah, so the doctor's getting all ready to go out to play soccer and he's on the phone with Amy though at the time, right?
Because sure.
That's when they say, like, she's like, okay, we're not stopping. And he's like, yeah, I'm working on it. The doctor's, she's like, dude, do you know how to play football? And he's like, sure, I assume so. Yeah, so then they get there.
And like, one of the guys there is like, hey, can I play football? He's like, do I know how to play football? And he spins the soccer ball on his middle finger. Like he's metal like fucking lemon.
Yeah, wait, what?
Metal like lemon.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
for the old people out there, they're just rolling in the theater laughing right now.
Would people listen to this in the theater?
Well, I assume because it's like for the premium listeners.
Oh, fuck off.
You know, it's like there's the episode of Doctor Who there. We're just like, we're in the bottom. Like,
so,
I'm Crow. You're Servo. Heidi is...
Gypsy.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Denise is Jonah. Sure.
Fuck. Yeah, so he's basically like, where are your strengths? And the doctor goes, in my arms. And we're all like, well, it's soccer, so you're not allowed to use those. So.
Oh, then he plays like a fucker.
And I said this to you during the episode. I'm like, so Matt Smith played soccer.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
he was going to go pro, and then he got hurt and like chose acting instead.
So, yeah, it's one of those things where, like, oh, this is a skill the actor had.
This was on his, like, resume.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, Dana Carvey knows how to play drums. So Garth Note sits in for drums on something. Why is it Wayne's World and Dana Carvey is the first reference that came to mind?
Because Mike Myers is kind of a piece of shit now. Everybody hates Mike Myers, and everyone loves Dana Carvey.
I don't know.
I assume like Mike Myers touched people inappropriately somewhere. He's notoriously supposed to be a dick.
Yeah, but no, it's like it's like I saw Black Books. I didn't know that the sidekick character, I don't remember his name, was a professional musician, and like he was acting on the side. And so in the one episode where he's like jamming away on the piano, it was amazing. And basically they played it up like he had a head injury or something, and so he played the a piano amazing. He was like a piano, like he was accidentally good at it.
Was his name Books?
No. It's one of those things where it's like a skill the actor has that they exploit for a plot point.
Right.
You know, I think this beer's hitting me.
Oh, well, stop drinking so fast.
This 9.5% or...
You're about 3.5% ahead of me there, Pilgrim.
I'm fine.
And so the doctor is like amazing at soccer. Even Sophie's like, gush. And she's like, doctor, doctor. Everyone's like, doctor, doctor. Like, you know, Craig's supposed to take some, like, some sort of like extra point or something. And the doctor like cock blocks him and knocks him. And then everyone's like jumping on the doctor and like, you know, grinding on him and shit. The doctor's like, I like being ground on.
It was so weird. Like, Craig was about to hit. It was a penalty shot. And it's like, yeah. I assume that you were like one specific person is supposed to kick that one. Like. I don't know. Like, it's like he's up there lined up for a reason. It's not like it's a free-for-all.
And Steve...
And everybody was chanting, doctor, doctor, doctor. And when they're walking up, Craig is like, what's your real name? Because I can't introduce you as the doctor, because that would be weird. The doctor's like, why would it be weird? And it turns out to not be weird.
Not weird at all. Because it's good... it's good and a chant.
Yeah.
Doctor, doctor. It's like, Craig. Craig. No, not so much.
Wait, what about a Keurig?
Craig. Craig.
Yeah, why do you want one cup of coffee?
I don't want one cup of coffee, but I would like a cocoa. So yeah, so the doctor is like, he's a hero. He is a hero.
Of this amateur soccer game.
Right. Now, I don't mean to be like a sizist, but as a man of size myself.
Yeah.
You know, let's just say James Corden at that point, plumpier than he is now.
He's definitely heftier, yeah.
Could you see him running up and down the pitch? That's what they call the field in soccer. No,
I know. Not repeatedly, but it depends on the position he's in. I can see him being...
If he's like just standing in the middle position, sure.
No, like a goalie, obviously that's the most stationary, even though that's still athletically challenging. But like defensemen, like where you're basically like you're always hanging back near the goal, but you're still running a lot. But it's amateur league. Like, you don't need to be in good shape. But yeah, he was not breaking a sweat.
Everybody else was all looking all kind of fit and stuff. And you know what? I think that's what broke it for me.
Okay.
Not the alien upstairs.
Not the time travel in general.
No! That makes sense. That could happen.
But the plump dude playing amateur soccer.
Hell, if I have to run up the stairs fast.
Yeah.
It's like, I feel like, you know, like, hold on.
Yeah.
Give me 30 seconds to catch my breath.
Why should I run up the stairs fast? When I get up to the top, I just have to wait 15 minutes to catch my breath.
Right, right. Why not just like take it slow and steady wins the race?
Yeah.
Right. So then the doctor goes back and
happen. They're basically, first off, when they're done, the captain of the soccer team or whatever goes to the doctor is like, hey, we need you to help annihilate the team next week. And the doctor's like, I will not participate in violence, whatever. And he has this little speech and then he ends with, but you were just referring to defeating the next team.
Yeah, Sean's like, I'm in.
And then the doctor says, no, wait. Yeah, Craig opens a beer and it foams in his face.
Uh-huh.
And then that's a time glitch.
Oh, yeah, there was a thing. It was kind of cool.
Yeah, it was a time glitch. That the doctor...
Hip, hip, hurrah. Hip, hip, hurrah. Hip, hip, hurrah.
But they did it a lot. Like, the doctor was not...
Oh, no, that wasn't meant to be more than one time.
No, I know. But the Doctor was not a part of the time glitch. He was outside of that time, I assume, because he's a time traveler, and he was communicating with Amy at the time.
And somebody else is trying to get sucked upstairs.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much what happened.
And basically, Amy was like, I still can't land the TARDIS. And he's like, use the jibby jabby turny turny, whatever it was.
Yeah, right.
Basically,
makes as much sense.
Push this lever, and she's like, I am pushing this lever, and he's like, is the door to your back? And she's like, of course the door is to my back. And he's like, take two steps to the right. And she does. And then she pushes the lever again. And it works somehow.
Better.
Like, I don't understand how this bullshit works.
Well, remember earlier in the episode, after the Doctor is like already being the lodger.
Yeah.
He shows up with a shopping cart with like things. Where I assume he's building that weird thing in his like bedroom.
Yeah. Because
I doubt that Craig had like a paddle.
Or a rake. In his room,
or a rake. Probably not.
In his apartment.
He's bringing stuff to build a thing. And then you hear meow, meow. And so the Doctor's bringing a cat. I assume that I didn't see the cat as part of the equipment.
I think this is... No, this is later.
Well, we see the cat later because he was talking to the cat.
Okay. But what happens first is Craig decides in his infinite Craig-like wisdom to... No, wait. Sorry. There's a date. They have a date, and they had already worked something out where he says to the Doctor's like, hey, if you ever want to, like, you know, give me a shout if you ever want to have, like, a boyfriend or a girlfriend over or whatever.
And the Doctor's that was great saying that, yeah.
Yeah, and the Doctor's, like, shouting, like, I am alerting you to the situation!
Yeah.
I don't remember what he says, but, yeah. He basically just literally yells.
Mm-hmm.
And so now it's like, Craig's like, hey, I want to be alone with Sophie. And the Doctor's like, cool, you won't know I'm here.
Right.
And of course the Doctor's like crawling around. Craig's about to profess his love to Sophie. And the Doctor says, he like pops up and is like, hey, I'm here and I'm working on the electronics. And, Craig's like, God damn it. And Sophie's like, oh, hello. And so then, and Sophie's like, join us. And the Doctor, of course, being socially clueless, is like, I will join you.
Yes.
And he's got wires like Mr. T necklaces just all over his neck. Mr. T, that's a contemporary reference, right?
Sure.
Okay.
Welcome back to the 1980s podcast.
Yeah. Where were we?
We were talking about Doctor Who.
Oh, shit.
We're jumping around because like so much stuff was happening. And you kept like going back and forth, back and forth,
I'm
back
sorry.
And forth. Let's just cut to the chase.
Well, really quick. So he's participating in this date, and this is important to the end.
Okay, sure.
He says to Sophie, it's like, what do you really want to do? What's keeping you here? And she's like, well, nothing. I want to go work with monkeys. And the Doctor's like, well, you should go work with monkeys. And she's like, I should go work with monkeys.
Unless you think I should do something else, Craig.
And Craig's like, no, do what makes you happy. Like, leave me and do what makes you happy. It's so ridiculous. And then the Doctor, Sophie leaves. The Doctor goes back to his room to work on his weird scanner bullshit. And Craig touches the mold, and it infects him. And the next morning, he doesn't wake up. The Doctor brings in breakfast. He's like, I have breakfast to you, which is totally normal. And it's like 7:15. And Craig won't wake. Well, Craig is really sick because he touched the thing. And the Doctor gives him some weird tea.
He gives him a thing.
A medicine thing.
Yeah.
Medicinal
thing.
It was
homeopathic.
And he sleeps until like 2:30 in the afternoon.
It was 12. It wasn't it 14:25?
14:25, which is 2 something.
Yeah, it's so weird.
So then
English people
Craig wakes up and is like, holy shit! And I liked that the breakfast was still on a tray on the bed because, you know, the Doctor just left it because the Doctor doesn't know. Then he goes into work. And what's at his work?
The Doctor.
Yeah.
Like doing Craig's job better than Craig would.
Apparently, yeah. Everybody loves the Doctor.
Everybody loves the Doctor. Even like, you know, Sophie's there because remember, they're also workmates.
Sophie brought the Doctor like a cookie. A couple of cookies or something.
Or a biscuit.
A custard, was it?
Fish fingers and custard.
Oh, delicious.
She knows what the Doctor likes.
Delicious.
And so then, like, you know, so Craig's boss is like, I guess, like, the Doctor's awesome. See you later.
Yeah, you should go home. And the Doctor's like, you should go home. It was, yeah, it was, the doctor's like, I've never worked in an office before. I've never worked anywhere before.
This is like single white male.
Yeah, yeah, basically.
Some weird shit going on.
Yeah, the doctor represented Craig at like the transition meeting or some bullshit.
It was some sort of meeting.
Yeah.
So the doc, you know, so Craig goes back and the doctor shows up. Craig busts into the doctor's room, sees like all this like weird shit going on. Yeah. And then like the doctor shows up and he's like, let me explain. And like headbutts him.
And then I was really confused.
Oh, why? Because it was awesome.
No, no. It was awesome. I was just thrown by the fact that the doctor can apparently communicate information through a headbutt.
I thought it was awesome.
That is an informational transfer through a headbutt.
Yeah.
I don't get it. This has never happened before on Doctor Who. Or anything. So what happened?
It was very, very, very fast. All these doctors flashed through, and Craig's basically like, "Oh my god, you're a Time Lord!"
You're the, like, yeah. He's like, "You have a TARDIS, yeah. Amy Pond."
And he like bashes him again. And he's like, "Oh my god, there's a creature upstairs, and Amy Pond is out there."
The doctor is like, "Well, we have to get more recent, more specific." And so he nails him in the face again, headbutts him again, and Craig, like, all the shit flashes, and he's like, basically, it's like. Previously on, and then it's like previously on this episode, we see what happened.
Yeah, yeah.
So
now, like, you know, yeah. All the nonsense that the doctor was saying to Amy Pond makes sense to Craig.
And in the meantime, Sophie is heading upstairs
because she has like girl. She's got like 95 sets of keys.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's nothing funny going on there. And she's letting herself into Craig's flat.
Yeah.
And so instead, the little girl, she says, "Hello. Can you help me? Are you my mummy?" And she goes upstairs. "I'm not your mummy, but I'll help you." And then, like,
because she now wants to leave because she wants to work.
She
with
wants
monkeys.
To travel with the monkeys.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then all of a sudden, screaming, and it's like, "Oh no, someone's upstairs! We need to save them!" And it's like, "Doctor, we need to go up there now." So the doctor's going up there, and then Craig sees like the little weird squishy keychain thing that Sophie has. Sophie's up there dying. Yeah. Get us in there. Doctor gets them in there. And
we see Sophie, whose hand...
What do we see when we walk in, though? Kind of a TARDIS.
Yeah, a giant, like, it's bigger on the inside situation.
Yeah, there was one of those things, it's like, oh, someone's trying to rebuild a TARDIS.
Well, the doctor literally says that later. Yeah. And then Craig, they see Sophie, and her hand is being, like, drawn to this thing with static electricity. Like, one of those, like... What is that ball where
things
you
remembered?
Grab it.
And like the little sparks are doing there.
It
like
makes your hair stand up on end.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a Tesla coil, but sure. It's like a
big old ball thing.
Let's say electro ball.
Somebody was going into a 1990s mall somewhere.
A Spencer's Gifts.
Yeah. You know, perhaps things remembered.
Yeah.
And like they touched this and their hair stands on end.
I had a giant one at the Museum of Science and Industry.
I had one of those years ago. And those were awesome.
Yeah.
Those were so cool.
Yeah. Is that why you're bald now?
Well,
did you hold it too long?
Oh my God. Now this, I see all. I thought it was all the Aussie Moose products I used in the 80s.
I don't know. I was going to make a joke about shitty, like, bootleg hair care products, but whatever.
No, I use real hair care products.
Okay.
They damage my hair just the same, I'm assuming. It wasn't genetics at all. I'm going to have a class action shoot.
Shoot?
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to shoot my...
Is that a class action shoot? Is that when a bunch of people share the same parachute?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
You know, when an eighth grade trip... They all jump out at the same time.
Yeah.
There's one parachute between 30 kids.
Wow.
I know. Well,
that must
be
public school.
You know, weed out the weak ones.
Yeah. So, okay. So, yeah. Sophie, like, they grab her hand and pull it away. And the doctor realizes it's like, you know, the reason Craig wasn't invited in is because he doesn't want to leave. And
Sophie does.
Sophie does now. And then the doctor and Amy is being communicated with all this time. But it's like Amy's like not only secondary, but she's just like an afterthought in this episode.
Well, the shadowy, you know, man that was like asking people to come help. The doctor's like, "Tell me what happened." It's like, basically, the crew is dead. This is the emergency program. It wants a pilot. It keeps trying to find a pilot. that can help.
It's gone through 17, and it has 6,000,000,024 left to go, or something right. like that.
Basically, it's looking for a genetic match that will help it, but like Earthlings are not genetic matches.
So it finds the doctor.
Oh, you can help me.
Yeah.
So, but the doctor will overload it and blow the shit up.
He says he will destroy the entire solar system.
Yeah.
That's a big boom.
Yeah, he's well overqualified.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the doctor says to Craig, oh, don't let it suck me in. Craig, you want to stay here and not travel ever again because why? Put your hand on there. He does. And it's like, because I love Sophie. Sophie's like, I love you too. And they both put their hands on there.
And she puts her hand down too, like voluntarily, like in your fucking face thing that tried to kill me.
I'm going to stay now. Suck it.
I really liked the resolution of this episode. I know it was contrived.
Huh.
I really liked the way this all wrapped up with like yes. the doctor basically forcing these people to like admit their feelings for each other. And yeah, this worked for me. And it basically overloads it because their overwhelming desire to stay because it had targeted people who wanted to leave. And so then they're outside and they see the top floor of this building, which was Amy's contribution. She's like, well, you wanted me to look at the plans for the second floor. There is no second floor. Dun, dun, dun.
Bah, bah, bah.
So we go outside and we see that the second floor turns into like this weird spaceship looking thing. And then it takes off and this people walk by and he's like, hey, afternoon. And they're like, doctor, why don't they realize?
It didn't take off. It exploded.
Oh, did it explode?
Yeah, no. It was destroyed.
It's
there
weird
was a perception filter. The perception filter can cloud people's minds, which is why Craig was like, no, there's always been an upstairs. Oh, wait, no. Wait, yes, no, what?
You would think that a spaceship exploding would at least, like, singe the building?
Yeah, no. That was not your perception.
But the roof, like,
was not on fire.
It should have been.
But didn't that, like, you know, that, like you were saying, it's like, that row of houses looked like they should have all been, like, but when they, like, make this one as first story, it looks so wrong.
It looked weird, yeah.
Yeah, no, because those were those weird, like, English row house things where
yeah.
they're all the same, and they're all, like, two stories, and, you know.
Well, they're like the condos we see pop up in Chicago. Like, you know, if you see a vacant lot, you know this, like, two-story, two-flat is just gonna, yeah. You yeah. know basically what style of place is going on.
So basically, Craig and Sophie are snogging all the time. The yeah. doctor's like, my work is done here. I'm going to escape without any kind of awkwardness. Oh, shit.
Oh, shit. Craig sees him. He's like, you're oy. Not leaving.
There was an oy.
Yeah, because I love the oys.
You love the oys.
Doctor leaves his keys there, and Craig's like, no, you keep those keys. And Craig's and the doctor's like, it's just in case I need to come back. And Craig's like, no, dumbass, I've seen inside your brain. I know you're never coming back, but I still want you to keep those keys just in case.
It was a nice memento.
Yeah, the doctor's like, oh, that's nice.
It was so nice.
And then we see the doctor get into the TARDIS and, you know, say hi to Amy, I think.
Yeah.
And then we see...
Amy's digging around in his pockets for some reason. Not in his person.
No.
And she pulls out a little box.
Oh, yeah. What I don't remember what she was looking for, but, you know, yeah, because Amy says, like, you're quite the matchmaker. Can you find someone for me? And the doctor kind of ignores it and, like, says, okay, we're off to this thing now. And then he leaves the room and Amy goes through and she finds her engagement ring and it really throws her.
And she's like, what's going on? Next time on Doctor Who.
And then we quickly...
shut off the television.
Hit the home button on the Roku to go away from that screen and shut it all down.
And I kept saying, it's like, don't look at the other pictures. Don't look at the other pictures.
I just saw a Dalek in one of them.
Yeah.
Whatever.
There's always a Dalek.
Yeah. But, yeah. What was... I thought there was something else...
Something important?
No, probably not.
Probably not.
No, let's go on. Let's move on. It yeah. was fun. I liked it. It was a great standalone.
Yes.
I liked it. It wasn't as good as Vincent and the Doctor, but it was good in a different way.
Would it bum you out to hear that there was an episode that was written by another author that he didn't actually, well, for budgetary things, they rescheduled it for a different time. That was written by Neil Gaiman.
Was this one written by
Neil? No, this wasn't. Okay. No, this replaced an episode written by Neil Gaiman.
I know I'll see it eventually.
How do you know?
I assume.
Timey-wimey?
No, I assume that Neil Gaiman, I'll assume I'll see his episode eventually.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, might be a little while.
Yeah. But you know what? If it was Terry Pratchett, that'd be different. I'd be annoyed that I didn't get to see Terry Pratchett.
Yeah.
But he didn't do anything for Doctor Who.
Yeah. You know, there was like, what the episode Neil Gaiman wrote would have required costed too much money, especially this late in the season.
Yeah.
So they chose to go a different route. Yeah. I mean, because there wasn't a whole lot of special effects going on here, except for like some, you know, bad CGI of taking off a second story.
Or the, like, creepy girl, boy,
there wasn't old that, man. That wasn't a special effects. That was just lighting.
No, the switch between them.
Yeah, but that's easy.
But yeah, I know. But
we didn't have a CGI creature.
And like we talked before, it was just like Amy probably filmed like a day for this episode.
Yeah, it felt very companion light.
Yeah.
Did we have a Dr. Light episode this season?
I don't think so.
Yeah, no. Maybe after, like, Victor, she had to go get herself reoranged or something. Because he, like, you know, pulled some of the orange out of her.
I don't know what Victor... Who's Victor?
Oh, Vincent.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, my bad.
No, that makes so much more sense, because it's the name of a guy we saw.
Victor Frankenstein. Didn't you see the episode?
I wish.
It was like, you know, there was a ginger Frankenstein. Frankenstein's monster.
Well, young Frankenstein was in black and white, so he could have been ginger. I don't know.
Yeah. So this is written by Gareth Roberts.
Okay.
He wrote the Shakespeare Code.
He wrote
The Unicorn and the Wasp.
Okay.
He wrote the Planet of the Dead.
Wait, which one was the Planet of the Dead?
That was the one with the bus.
Okay. Yeah.
Also, he wrote 18 episodes of the Sarah Jane Chronicles.
Well, all the Doctor Who episodes he wrote are pretty good standalones.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, and I don't know what, obviously.
Also fantastical.
Yeah, but this was, I really liked this one. Part of it was the performances of like James Corden and the woman who played Sophie.
Yeah, people forget that James Corden is an actual actor.
I know.
You know, he's not just a
talk show host, carpool karaoke guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But also, yeah, he was at this time, he was in a show called Gavin and Stacey. It was a sitcom where, you know, he played like a chunky friend. He wasn't Gavin or Stacey. He also, did you see Into the Woods? Did we watch that or did I watch that?
I think you watched that. It's a musical. It's a Sondheim musical, right?
Yes, right.
No,
Meryl Streep's in it.
You made me watch the...
I made you watch the actual like stage version of it.
No, not of it. Of Sweeney Todd.
So good.
Emma Thompson. You're like, okay.
No.
No, yeah, it was Emma Thompson.
Stage version?
Yes. Remember this? Because I walked into your place and you're like, okay... We're supposed to hang out, but we're going to watch this. You can say no as soon as you want, but just humor me for like 5 minutes. And I'm like, no, this was fun.
Because Angela Lansbury was actually in that. Are you sure you're confusing? Because Angela Lansbury, she was the one who played like, you know, the woman who made the pies and stuff.
And this was Angela Lansbury, or not, no, it's not Emma Thompson. And it was... The I'm looking at it live from Lincoln Center.
That was like a stage. Yes. They were just like, oh my gosh, I forgot about that.
They were on a fucking stage.
They were just kind of like doing a stage reading.
Yes.
Oh, it wasn't like an actual play performance.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so
No. I forgot I was doing that. Yeah. I forgot about that. I apologize.
Yeah, it's okay.
And it was a lot of fun. So he was into that. He's done a whole shitload of voiceovers. James Corden has.
Yeah.
He, in England, he was kind of like the go-to guy to host award shows, too.
The Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. So then it was like, you know, they made him slim down a little bit and then come and, like, do the Late Late Show with James Corden.
Yeah, because, you know, when I think of America, I think of people who are thin.
Well, you know, we like to pretend.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been doing that that late show since 2015. More than 600 episodes.
That's a lot, considering I've never watched any of them.
All right, yeah. Sophie?
Yes.
Yeah. Not much about her, but her voice appeared in two Harry Potter movies.
What?
She was Ministry Lift in Order of the Phoenix and also Deathly Hallows Part 1. She was the voice of the Ministry Lift.
Oh, well, that's funny. Heidi and I just rewatched Deathly Hallows Part 1 just a couple days ago. Four or five days ago.
Yeah. So those are the two movies that the Ministry Lift appeared in.
That's funny.
The voice of. And she was in both of them. She was Ministry Lift voice.
Okay.
And also, she was a regular of, you know, that Matt LeBlanc show episodes?
Yes.
She was a regular in that for, half the series, I guess.
I've heard that's interesting.
Yeah. And the only other thing that, amused me, when the doctor, and when they're upstairs in the upstairs that does not belong to be upstairs, and the doctor's talking to the hologram of the thing that's trying to find a pilot, and he says, please state the nature of your emergency. Do you ever watch Voyager?
No.
The hologram doctor in there, played by Robert Picardo, the bald guy, he would always go, whenever he was, someone would walk into the emergency, into the where they do the medical place, and it's like, we need a doctor. He's like, please state the nature of your emergency. And I'm like, so people, conject that this was done intentionally. Because the doctor is talking to a hologram image rather than someone talking to a hologram of a doctor.
Oh, maybe.
I don't know. It delighted me somehow, weirdly.
Yeah, it was, we've been talking for a very long time.
Yeah, I know, Steve. We do that. So, you liked it? We're done?
This was definitely a highlight of the... This was, Vincent and the Doctor was a really good standalone episode, but this was a really good one in a different way. This was lighter. It was funnier.
It was quippy.
It was quippy, but Vincent and the Doctor had fucking Bill Nye, who
I love Bill Nye.
And Vincent Van Gogh, kissing him and then making a callback joke to Amy, saying he's sorry about the beard, because Amy said, you should trim the beard before you kiss another person. It was just... It was a funny, but I don't know.
Whatever. You know what's funny? There was a weird little goof that apparently Dutch people.
Yeah.
They don't, because it's when Vincent Van Gogh kissed Bill Nye.
Yeah.
He went, mwah, mwah. I guess Dutch people do it three times. Mwah, mwah, mwah. And really? People are like, well, he's Dutch. He should have kissed him three times. I'm just saying is all.
Whatever. Yeah. Well, in this episode, the fucking doctor kissed everybody. He greeted Matt. Not Matt. He kissed James Corden on each cheek, towards each cheek. But then did Sophie while he was wearing a towel. Made it very awkward.
Yeah. So that, I have no problem with that.
No.
Not that he's all studly or anything, but it's man flesh.
Whatever,
exactly. So that's it. Hey, Steve. We're going to watch another episode coming soon. It's called what?
But I'm very tired.
Yeah, well, then let's get it over with.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, at this point of the episode, you're usually kind of tired. Yeah. And then I have to push through.
Yeah.
It's like, Steve, I'm just going to give you this little bit of candy at the end.
It's all on you.
Here's a little bit at the end. And we're so close.
Oh, so close.
And I'm saying, hey, Steve, make it very brief. And then 20 minutes later, you're like, I'm so tired. Yeah. Why am I still talking? So, hey, Steve.
Yeah.
The Pandorica opens.
The what?
The Pandorica opens.
Oh, I heard the Pandorica and assumed it was a mistake, but that's apparently the real thing.
Uh-huh.
So, the Pandorica opens is about the doctor going to the year 29 million.
2000.
And he's going there and they end up on... a colony on the moon, and they're going around, they're looking around, and because he just wants to show Amy this. We forgot, I think, that about Amy's crack showing up at the very end of the episode.
Amy's crack's always showing up.
Whatever.
So, if Amy's in there, her crack's showing up.
So he shows her this, and then they realize that something's wrong. It's not the real moon. The doctor's used to something else.
It's Crack Moon?
Yeah, it's Crack Moon, and the doctor's like, you know what? We should be investigating. We should be investigating where the piece of the TARDIS comes from. And so he goes, basically they go flying around, and they end up on a planet called Pandorica because it's a planet of mysteries, and I got nothing else. I don't know.
And then it opens.
And then it opens.
And then because we know the next one's a two-parter, yeah.
It opens, but only part way.
And then everyone goes, oh! And then next time on Doctor Who...
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
You know what I totally forgot?
What?
This was episode 75 of the Doctor Who podcast.
Woohoo!
Talking about The Lodger, series 5, episode 11.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that was it. So people who were like waiting for that, now you can have your shot. Yeah, because they're waiting. Yeah. Sorry, you know, they were just kind of like, oh, just like that whole time, their hands all shaking out. Shaking hands!
Why are they waiting for... Never mind.
Oh, because they're delightful.
Yeah.
And so that was what we watched. And so, Steve, I'm going to Disney World. What are you doing?
Going to work. I'm just going to go into work.
It's so sad.
No, it's not. Because I'll take a vacation sometime in March and go do something else.
What's in March?
I don't know. Heidi and I are going to go somewhere.
Oh.
Yeah.
Disney World?
No.
Sad.
I know.
I know.
So we had two Victory Golden Monkeys that are very high alcohol content, and two Miller and a Miller Lite, and a shot of Jack Daniels.
Shot and a half.
Well, I guess those glass shot glasses are pretty big. So.
Yeah, it's like a deciliter of alcohol.
I'm feeling it.
Yeah, it's all good.
Yeah.
So thanks for listening.
Thank you.
And thanks for listening through this.
Rate, review, subscribe.
What Steve said.
Yeah.
And we'll see you on the next time of the Drunkter Who podcast. Steve, now we salute them.
Okay.
We're saluting our friends.
All right.
Salute. Steve, why aren't you saluting? Salute and I can finish.
When can I be
salute,
done?
Salute, Steve. Well, when you're saluting, you're not saluting me with your middle finger. Steve, salute me with your hand.
Bye.
Salute me with your goddamn hand, Steve. Why are you blocking me? Steve, stop blocking me. Salute.
Can be done.
Just salute me back. Why don't you salute me? Oh, do you have to pee that bad? I'm putting it back on. We're going to record you peeing. Oh. It'd be funny if we were still recording.
A few moments later.
All right, so we're still recording. Are you just going to say goodbye?
Bye.
Be done.
Be done. You wouldn't salute me, so fuck you. Bye.
Bye. Hey, do you want to record?
Sure. When should we start?
I don't know. Soon, because we got fucking fried chicken that's probably getting soggy.
Ooh, it takes. Yeah, that's true. That sucks. All right, you ready, Steve?
Yes. Anyway, I think we were at the opening credits.
No clue. No, because all right.
Where were we?
Just tell me where we were, Steve.
We were at the opening.
We just had a potty break. Let's be upfront.
We got another beer.
We got some more monkey. We got some more monkey potty.
Another Victory Golden Monkey.
Ooh, ooh, uh-uh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bing, bang, walla, walla, ding, ding.
They're 9.5s, people.
Yeah.
Oh, we had some chicken.
Oh, we had chicken from Mother Cluckers.
Yeah.
Which is, it was tasty. The chicken was really tasty.
Yes.
And also, it's named Mother Cluckers. How can you not like that?
I was going to make a joke when you're like, hey, check out the menu from Mother Cluckers. I was going to say, hey, my work internet blocked it for being foul or something.
For foul? you didn't even realize you made the pun.
Probably not. Not in a conscious effort.